by God to do something. And he went and did that job that God had given him to do. And as he did it, he learned to depend on God's help to do God's work. In a similar way, you and I may not be called to do what God called Paul to do, but God has a purpose for each one of us. He has something that each one of us can do to advance the cause of Christ. He has someone for us to reach, no matter what our vocation may be in life. Each one of us is called by the Lord to do something for him. In this passage, we see how God can give each one of us something to do for him, but how he helps us as we do his work. And so I hope this is encouragement to us this evening. Let's start reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Let's open with a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word now, I pray that you would use these scriptures to challenge us to do something for you, but also to, I pray that this would also encourage us to depend upon your help as we try to do your work, because you give us the great resource of your mercy, as we see in this passage. And so I pray that these things would help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing we see in this passage is that we must recognize our ministry. Recognize our ministry. Notice again in verse number 1, it says, "We have this ministry." Now, God had given the Apostle Paul a special ministry to be an apostle, a church planter. But God has given to every Christian a responsibility to serve the Lord. And we see that in so many different parts of the Bible. But the word ministry here means to serve. To serve God, to serve others. And God has a ministry of some kind that every Christian can do for him. God has given each one of us unique abilities that we can use to serve the Lord or serve others. Some people may be gifted to teach or preach. Others may be gifted to work with their hands and build things. Some are gifted musically. Some are gifted to organize things. Some people are gifted to relate really well with people. Others may be gifted to have a special ministry of prayer. But the point is that every Christian can do something to serve the Lord. Not one of those things is necessarily more important or less important than the others, because anything that we do for the Lord is a ministry. Ministry is not just what the pastor does or a missionary or the piano player or someone else does, but anything you do to serve the Lord is a ministry. Jesus said even a cup of cold water given in his name, that's something that's so simple. It's a way that we can serve the Lord and serve others. Each one of us should use the time, the abilities, and the resources that God has given us to serve the Lord and to serve others. The ministry that we have, it began when we trusted Christ, but it doesn't have to stop. It can continue for a lifetime. The ministry, what we're able to do, may change over time, but we can always do something for God. We can always do something for others. God gives us his mercy to help us keep going as we serve him. Notice again in verse number 1, it says, "Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." God gives us his mercy to help us keep going as we serve him. God's work, that whatever ministry it is that God has given to you, it comes with a divine enabling, and that's the mercy of God. We don't have to faint, as the verse says, because God will help us when we serve him. Ministering and serving God should not be viewed as a burden, although it's not always easy. But we shouldn't see it as a burden. We should see it as a privilege, as an opportunity. We should think about it this way. We get to serve the King of Kings. We get to serve the Lord of Lords. We get to point people to Jesus Christ. We get to do things for other people. And we need to have a positive attitude towards serving the Lord. It's not just a burden, but it's a blessing to serve the Lord and serve others. Each one of us ought to consider this question: how can I use my abilities to serve the Lord? How can I use my time to serve the Lord? How can I use my resources to serve the Lord? How can I use my life to serve the Lord? What can I do for God? And God has a purpose for each one of us. We must find that purpose and depend upon His help to do His work. If we're going to be involved in serving the Lord, we must first recognize our ministry, because we can all have a ministry of some kind. The second thing we see in this chapter is that we must reveal our message. Reveal our message. We know that we should serve the Lord. So how should we serve Him? There are many ways that we can serve the Lord, but in this chapter, we see perhaps the most important way of serving God, and that is to reveal the message of the gospel. We must take the word of God and hold it up before a lost and dying world so that they can see Christ. In verse number 2, there are two ways that we can reveal the message. It's through telling people about the gospel, and it's also through living out the gospel, the way that we live our life. Look at verse number 2. It says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully." So that's simply saying that we should not twist the scriptures and make it say what we want to say. And the implication is that we must be careful to speak the gospel truthfully. Well, there's a lot of different ways that people try to convince people to get saved out there, and they're not really biblical methods. And we got to be careful to handle the word of God carefully. And so we reveal the message of the gospel by how we speak, by how we communicate. We see that in many other verses in the Bible as well. But we reveal the message by what we say, but also by how we live our daily life. Notice the end of verse number 2. It says, "Not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation or showing or demonstrating of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." The way that we live our life is a demonstration of what we believe. It's a demonstration of the truth, or it's a demonstration of something else. We need to be a living example of the gospel. Our testimony of Christian living either reveals the message of the gospel to others, or it covers up the message of the gospel and hides it from others. Paul's testimony of living for God was such that his life matched the Bible. In Acts chapter 26, Paul wrote this: "Herein do I exercise myself," I'm working at this, "to have always a conscience void of offense toward and toward men." In other words, he was working at his testimony. He was careful about how he lived. And we must be conscious of that as well. We need to be conscious of our testimony for the Lord. We must not only speak the truth, but we must live out the truth in our daily life. If there's no difference between the way that we live and the way that an unsaved person lives, an unsaved person will see no reason why they should listen to the gospel. What we say we believe will not matter to them if we live inconsistently with God's word. And so we have a great challenge in verse number 2 to be careful to speak the truth and also live according to the truth in our daily life. Both of those things are necessary if we are going to reveal the message of the gospel to a lost and dying world. You've probably heard it said before, your life might be the only Bible that an unsaved person will ever read. Well, think about this. Your words may be the only witness for Christ someone will ever hear. Your life might be the only testimony and example of Christ that they will ever see. Our life every day can make a difference one way or the other. People can come to Christ based on our testimony, or they can be pushed away from Christ based on a lack of testimony. It makes a difference one way or the other every day. In the next few verses, we find why we need to reveal the message of the gospel. And it's because if we do nothing, the gospel's hidden from those who need it the most. Notice verse number 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If we do nothing with the gospel, it's hidden from the lost. People who do not know Christ are not going to hear about how to know him by watching the news or by watching a football game. People who don't know Christ must hear about him from someone whose life has been changed by the gospel. That's you. That's me. That's Christians all around the world. And if we do nothing with the gospel, how will they ever hear? Paul said in Romans chapter 10, how shall they hear without a preacher, someone to tell them about Christ? They won't. The gospel will be hidden. Notice also verse number 4. It says, in whom, in lost people, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Bible calls Satan the God of this world. The devil has great influence over the hearts and minds of unsaved people. He blinds them, it says, distracts them from the truth. And the verse says he does this lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Satan does not want people to see the light. Jesus is the light of the world, but Satan tries to keep people in darkness. He does everything he can to prevent people from seeing Christ. There are many different ways that he could do that. Satan might use a person who mocks God, distracts someone else from trusting the gospel. He could use skeptical thinking to blind their mind to the truth. He could use an addiction to deaden their senses. We have huge problems with that in Newfoundland. Satan could use prosperity to make a person think, I don't need God. I have everything I need. He could use a self-sufficient attitude to make people think, I can get to heaven on my own. I'm a good enough person. He could use business or pleasure or philosophy or pride or any number of things to try to keep people away from trusting Christ. He also tries to keep Christians from reflecting the light to those who are in the darkness. And that's why he goes after Christians and tries to get us defeated and discouraged so that we'll just give up and do nothing with the gospel. He does not want you and I to tell people about Christ. He wants people to stay in the darkness, blinded to the truth. He wants to drag as many people down to hell as he possibly can. That is why we must reveal the message. That is why we must recognize that we have a ministry of some kind that can impact someone else and make sure the gospel is not hidden. We must represent Jesus Christ to the world. If we fail to do that, the gospel is hidden. People continue to be deceived, and they'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire. We must make sure, by the way that we talk, by the way that we act, by the way that we live, that we are a living reflection of Jesus Christ. Can other people see Jesus in you? Can they see him in me? Can they see him in the way that we talk, the way that we act, the way that we live? Do they see a difference in our life? Or is the gospel hidden, covered up? Is our candle under the bushel, as the children's song says? Verse number 5 kind of changes the topic slightly. It says in verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. What are we supposed to preach as we reveal the message? It says, not ourselves. We preach not ourselves. We don't serve the Lord to promote ourselves. We don't serve the Lord to gain attention from other people. Look at how spiritual I am because of what I've done for God. That's not what it's about. It says we preach not ourselves, but what do we preach? Christ Jesus, the Lord. So that brings the question, does our life promote Jesus, or does it draw attention away from him and put it on ourselves or put it on something else? Do our words and our actions point people to Christ or distract people from Christ? Verse 5 says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul was demonstrating his heart for service. Paul was willing to serve other people as he served the Lord. Serving others advances the cause of Christ. Serving other people is a way that we can show the love of Christ to someone else who needs it. When we use the abilities, the talents that we have to serve others, we do it for His sake. That is demonstrating God's love to others. Ministry and serving God, it's all about Jesus. It's all about others, and it's not about us. The end of this verse says, we do these things for Jesus' sake. That's the motivation. That's the driving force that should be behind anything we do for the Lord. It's for His sake. That's why we serve God. That's why we serve others. That's why we reveal the message. It's for His sake. You know, Jesus did some things for our sake. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. That verse is simply talking about how Jesus left everything He had in heaven, came down to this earth to die on the cross to pay for our sin. It was for our sake so that we could be saved. What can we do for His sake? To show our gratitude for His love for us, we can serve God. We can serve others. We can do some things for Jesus' sake. Why should we do all these things? Verse number 6 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The God who created the world shined the light of the gospel into your heart, into my heart. And when we trusted Christ as our Savior, He saved us and He gave us the light and gave us the responsibility to be a reflector of His light and shine that light to someone else in this dark and dying world. We should serve Him because He saved us. We should do it for His sake because He gave us the light, and other people are in the darkness and they need to see the light. We must recognize our ministry. We must reveal our message to a world that needs Christ. Those two things are so important, but as we do those things, number 3, we must rely on God's mercy. Rely on God's mercy. We need God's mercy to enable us as we preach the message. We need God's mercy to help us as we do the ministry that God has given to us. Notice again in verse number 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We need God's help if we are going to faithfully serve God and proclaim the gospel. We cannot do it on our own. We can't even live the Christian life successfully on our own, in our own strength, in our own flesh. We need God's help to live the Christian life and live the way He wants us to. And we cannot serve God faithfully and tell others about Christ faithfully like we ought to without His help either. And so God gives us His mercy, His grace, His help to enable us. God's mercy helps us to keep going even when it's difficult at times to serve Him. When people don't want to listen to the message, we need God's mercy so we don't quit. When the ministry, whatever ministry that we have, is hard, we need God's mercy to keep going and be faithful to Him. Human effort and our own strength only takes us so far, but God's grace, God's mercy, gives us the ability to serve Him faithfully. You know, it's only by the grace and the enablement of the Holy Spirit in us that we can serve God and serve others. It's not always easy, is it? It's not easy to serve God and others when you've had a super busy, difficult week. We don't always feel like serving the Lord if we're facing a difficulty in our personal life, but we can be faithful regardless of those things. We can be faithful in service because God gives us His mercy, His help, His strength. We have received mercy, it says, so we faint not. We don't have to give up. The rest of this chapter talks about how Paul was able to do that. He served the Lord for a lifetime, and it was because he learned to rely on the mercy of God. Look at verse number 7. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have the treasure of the gospel in ourselves, and we are a earthen vessel, an imperfect, flawed vessel that God wants to use. But if we let God use us to take the gospel to others, the excellency of his power is seen through us instead of us being seen. Verse number 8 starts to talk about the difficulties Paul faced in ministry. Look at it. It says, we are troubled on every side. You ever felt like that before? Troubled on every side. Notice what he says. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed. We don't know what to do, but we're not in despair because we know God's going to help us. Persecuted, verse 9, but not forsaken because he promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Cast down, but not destroyed because he promised to help us. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In Paul's experience, he endured a lot of problems, a lot of persecutions, a lot of difficulty as he served the Lord. But God's mercy is what helped him to keep going through all of it. The message of the gospel had to be preached. The work of the ministry had to be done. It was God's mercy that carried him through. How did Paul learn to rely on God's mercy? We skip down to verse number 16. It says, for which cause we faint not. And we've seen that before, haven't we? We faint not. Yet though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It starts by saying, for which cause we're not going to faint. What is the cause? The cause is the sake of the gospel. The cause is the glory of God, as it says at the end of verse number 15. For that cause, we're not going to faint. Paul said, we're not going to lose heart. We're not going to give up. We're not going to throw in the towel because God's mercy is helping us. God's mercy is helping us through those difficult times. He said, our outward man perish. The problems that he faced were dragging him down. And he said, there's such a burden, but the difficulties he faced, those were real things. They caused him physical problems, emotional pain, mental distress. The problems took their toll on him, but he refused to lose heart. He refused to faint because the middle of the verse says, even though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What was it that did the renewing inwardly? It was the mercy of God, the grace of God, the word of God, God's help, the Holy Spirit. Paul learned to live by faith one day at a time, day by day, as he said, being renewed. Each day might have brought a new problem, a new persecution, a new trouble as he served the Lord. But each day also brought a new supply of God's grace and God's help and God's mercy. He learned to draw his strength from the Holy Spirit and from the word of God. As he fulfilled the ministry God gave him, he trusted in God's mercy. As he preached the message of the gospel, he relied on God's mercy. God's mercies were new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, the Bible says. Paul learned to believe that and live by that. He waited on the Lord and his strength to be renewed like the eagle. You know, that's why he could sing in the middle of the night as he was bound in prison because of God's mercy. He could get back up and keep preaching after being mobbed because of God's mercy. He could keep going from place to place preaching the gospel even when angry crowds ran him out of town because of God's mercy. He could deal with the daily problems and not lose heart because of God's mercy. You know, that's the same way that you and I can face the circumstances of life and not faint, not give up, not lose heart, because we can learn to rely on God's mercy. That is how we can serve God and serve others and take the message of the gospel to people who need it and not give up and faint because of God's mercy. Because we can learn to be renewed, renew the inward man day by day by the mercy of God. Paul depended on God's help as he did God's work. Yes, the difficulties were still there. Yes, the problems were still there as he served God, but he learned to focus on God instead of looking at the problems around him. Look at how he saw things in verse number 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Notice the contrast. The problems, he said, are a light affliction. Now, if you read through the book of Acts and some of the other parts of the Bible that talk about Paul's life, if you and I faced some of the things that Paul went through in his ministry, we would not call them a light affliction. But you know what he said? In contrast to the eternal weight of glory, those things are really not that significant. They were but for a moment, because the glory of heaven is eternal. If you take a scale and you put the weight of our light afflictions on one side of a scale, and you take, as it says, the eternal weight of glory and heaven and the blessings of God, and you put that on the other side of the scale, there's really no comparison, is there? When we measure our problems in comparison to eternity, the things that are so big to us right now, they are really insignificant, aren't they? That's how we can view life when our inner man is renewed by the mercy of God. That's how we can look at the problems we face daily, the problems we face as we opposition, perhaps, as we try to tell people about Christ, or difficulties that we might face as we do ministry God has given to us. If we're renewed by the mercy of God, he helps us to see things that way. Verse 18 adds to that perspective. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, the things that we see right now in our life, earthly, physical difficulties around us, Paul learned to stop looking at those things. Those things were just temporary, he said. And by faith, he learned to look at the God who is in control of those things. Just a few verses later in chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul said, "We walk by faith, not by sight." You know, if Paul was looking at the earthly problems, the things that made his outward man perish, the difficulties, if he was looking at those things, he would have been walking by sight. But he learned to look at the Lord instead, and he learned to walk by faith. He could walk by faith because he renewed the inward man day by day. He could continue in a lifetime of ministry by relying on God's mercy. He could keep revealing the message of the gospel because of God's mercy. You know, the day and age in which we live is no friend to Christianity. Canada is probably 10 years ahead of the U.S. in being progressive, and it's difficult. I believe you look around our world today, and the conclusion you have to come to is that time has to be short. Jesus has to be coming soon. But until he comes, we have something to do for the Lord. There are more than 8 billion people alive today. Can you even understand a number that big? I can't understand that. 8 billion people, and they need to hear the gospel. Some of them live right here in your town. Some of them live in my town, in Carbonear, Newfoundland. And if we're going to do something to help reach them, even one person, we must recognize that we have a ministry. God has given to every one of us something that we can do, something we can use to serve him and serve others. There's a whole world out there that needs the gospel, and we ought to be looking for what we can do to minister and touch someone else's life for Christ. But we must also reveal the message. God's given us the message of the gospel, and if we don't proclaim it to others, it's hidden from those who need it. As we do the ministry and as we share the message, we have to rely on God's mercy. We can't do God's work on our own. If we try, we just fail and get discouraged. It is God who enables what we do. We don't have to faint in this great work, but we must be renewed and strengthened by the mercy of God. Paul's life, as we saw, was full of constant problems and persecutions and difficulties as he tried to do what God wanted him to do. His outward man was perishing, but he wouldn't faint. He wouldn't give up. He wouldn't lose heart because he learned to trust in God's mercy. I can tell you there have been many times on the mission field when we have felt worn down and faint, perhaps exhausted. But what helps us to keep going for the Lord is not our willpower or determination to do something. It's God's mercy, God's strength, God's word, the Holy Spirit in us, the encouragement of other believers. God promises to be an unfailing resource of his power to those who trust in him and follow him. Maybe today you realize there's something that you can do to serve the Lord. Maybe you realize there's something more you can do to serve the Lord. And and that would be great. Maybe you know that God is calling you into full-time ministry, and that is amazing. But no matter what you may be doing for the Lord, each one of us can do something for Him. God has a ministry. God has a message that needs to be taken around the world, and we can all do something to advance the cause of Christ. Maybe you've been serving the Lord and you've grown weary in well-doing, and that happens. But we have to learn to rely on God's mercy, because He will help us and strengthen us and get us back up to help us keep going for the Lord. Maybe you have a neighbor or a friend and the gospel's hidden to them. Rely on God's mercy, because He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the courage to speak to them. And God can help us as we try to do His work, as we try to share His message. God can use each one of us to point other people to Christ. We have to make ourselves available and allow Him to use us, and then trust Him to help us as we do His work. Let's close in a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this chapter that gives us both a great challenge to do something for You, and